From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other sort of information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. President Jokowi seeks Russia security guarantee for Ukraine food export lane. State revenue break 12 years record by surpassing 100% target. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where President Joko Widodo met with Russia President Vladimir Putin in Kremlin Palace, Moscow, Russia on Thursday. Both heads of states discussed many things, including the Russia-Ukraine war peace resolution, as well as food supply chain and fertilizer interruptions that affect people around the world, especially in the developing countries. This was stated by President Joko Widodo during a joint press conference after the meeting broadcast on the Presidential Secretariat YouTube channel. I appreciate President Putin, who earlier said he would grant security lane for food supply and fertilizer from Ukraine and Russia. This is good news. Then he also supported the United Nations effort to reintegrate Russia's food and fertilizers, as well as Ukraine's food commodity in the world food supply chain. During the meeting with President Putin, President Joko Widodo stated that Indonesia does not have any interest but to see the war over and get food supply chain, fertilizer and energy fixed immediately. President Joko Widodo also asked world leaders to revive together the spirit of multilateralism, peace and cooperation, because only with the spirit peace can be achieved. The realization of state revenues in 2021 exceeded the 100% target for the foremost time in the past 12 years, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani stated during an online plenary meeting with the House of Representatives DPR on Thursday. Sri Mulyani remarked that the realization of state revenues in 2021 also grew by 22.06% as compared to a year earlier. In addition, the budget deficit is also lower than the target of 5.70% set in the 2021 state budget. The last national news comes from the Civil 20 or C20 engagement group, as leaders of G20 countries must pay more attention to civil society issues and be more transparent in the policy-making process. Bini Bukhari of the Civil 20 or C20 Steering Committee said at the press conference in Jakarta on Thursday that the involvement of civil society organization in the process of policymaking is very important so that policies are truly inclusive and no one is left behind. C20 urges G20 leaders to pay heed to and take action on the issues that directly impact people's daily lives on their agenda. Let's move on to the international news. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said the launching of power transmission to Romania was the start of a process that could help Europe reduce its dependence on Russian hydrocarbons. Zelensky's comment in his nightly video message on Thursday followed an announcement by Prime Minister Denis Shmyhal that export had started earlier in the day with a volume of 100 megawatts 4 months into Russia's war on Ukraine. Ukraine reached agreement in mid-March to join the European Network of Transmission System Operators, or ENTSOE, after its grid was linked to that of the European Union. Oil prices edged up in early trade on Friday after sinking the previous sessions of the OPEC Plus said it would stick to its planned oil output hikes in August, and investors worried about the strength of the global economy. On Thursday, the OPEC Plus group of producers, including Russia, agreed to stick to its output strategy after 2 days of meetings. However, the producers' club avoided discussing policy from September onwards. The dollar was little changed against major peers on Friday, but was on track for its best week in four as investors waived the boost. From tighter Federal Reserve policy and the risk of a U.S. recession. The dollar index, which measures the currencies against its counterparts, inched up 0.07% in Asian trading after 0.32% drop overnight. Last news comes from Asia's manufacturing activity stalled in June as many companies were hit by supply disruptions caused by China's strict COVID-19 lockdowns, while sharp economic slowdown risked in Europe and the United States reinforced fears of a global recession. A string of surveys on Friday showed China's factory activities bouncing solidly in June, though a slowdown in Japan and South Korea, as well as the contractions in Taiwan. Listener, next we present to you commentary entitled Awaiting Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Foreign Policy.
Today's commentary is on Awaiting Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Foreign Policy. Ferdinand Marcos Jr. was sworn in as President of the Philippines in a ceremony in Manila on Thursday, June the 30th, succeeding Rodrigo Duterte. In his first speech as president, Marcos Jr. thanked the Filipino people for granting what he called the largest electoral mandate in the history of Philippine democracy. He promised to take his country forward with policies that benefit everyone. A number of people are waiting for his promises, including increasing job opportunities and lowering the price of basic commodities and basic needs. On the other hand, both the Philippines and the international community are also waiting for Marcos Jr.'s foreign policy stance, especially related to the relationship between the Philippines and the United States and between the Philippines and China, which is often problematic. Over the past few years, the Philippines has had a territorial dispute with China. In solving this problem, the Duterte administration prioritizes diplomatic relations with China rather than resolving it firmly. However, in 2016, an arbitral tribunal established under the International Law of the Sea and Route of the Sea ruled in favor of the Philippines over China's claims. Regarding the South China Sea dispute, Marcos Jr. stressed that he would stick to the decision that clarified the Philippines' sovereign rights. In this regard, the new Philippine president promised to be firm and consistent with his stance. However, that doesn't mean choosing the hard line or war. He will still prioritize diplomacy. What about the Philippine-U.S. relations? Under the Duterte administration, relations between the two countries, which have a very long history, experienced ups and downs, especially in the military field. In February 2020, Duterte scaled back joint military exercises and threatened to terminate the visiting forces agreement. But the problem was finally resolved in July 2021. Will the Marcos Jr. government continue to maintain good relations between the Philippines and the United States? Doubts arose because the poor past track record of relations between the Marcos family and the United States government. This raises the view that the situation will not improve in the future. People may have doubts, yet Marcos Jr. clearly said, as quoted from MediaIndonesia.com, that he wanted to be friends with everyone. This means that Marcos Jr. will establish partnerships with other countries, including China and the United States, without compromising the interests of the Philippines, of course. To be sure, ASEAN, or the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, and Indonesia in particular, hope that the new government in the Philippines will further enhance cooperation between countries in the Southeast Asia region, which has been well established. Well, that was commentary today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here is commentary. The title of the commentary for today's edition is Nagorno-Karabakh Conflict Breaks Out Again, Azerbaijan-Armenia Open Fire Each Other. Armenian and Azerbaijani soldiers open fire at each other in the Nagorno-Karabakh region on Wednesday, resulting in at least 3 soldiers being killed. Both countries are actually still bound by a ceasefire agreement. However, they have accused each other of violating the ceasefire in the disputed area. Azerbaijan's Ministry of Defense said that Karabakh troops targeted Azerbaijani army posts in the Lachin region, which are under the supervision of Russian peacekeepers. As a result of this attack, one Azerbaijani conscript was killed. Meanwhile, according to the country's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the bloody incident that occurred shows that Armenia is not honoring the ceasefire agreement. In contrast, the army in Nagorno-Karabakh accused Azerbaijan of violating the ceasefire and killing 2 soldiers and wounding 14 others. The Azerbaijani army said that it carried out an operation dubbed Retaliation in response to the terrorist act of an illegal Armenian armed group in Azerbaijani territory that claimed the life of a conscripted soldier. Previously, Armenia-Azerbaijan had also been involved in a war in the autumn of 2020. The war that lasted for 6 weeks killed more than 6,500 people and ended in a ceasefire initiated by Russia. To avoid a wider conflict, the European Union has called for an immediate end to hostilities between the 2 countries, and both sides must respect the ceasefire. Apart from the European Union, the United States has also expressed its condolences and concerns over what happened. U.S. State Department spokesperson Ned Price confirmed that he was closely following reports of intense fighting around Nagorno-Karabakh, including casualties and injuries. In addition, the Washington side urged steps to immediately reduce tensions and avoid further escalation. Azerbaijan and Armenia have suffered heavy losses, both material and non-material, as a result of war. Thus, it is appropriate for the 2 warring parties to refrain from actions that can trigger open war. Well, listener, that's commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Well, listener, that was commentary that ends the news from Voice of Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Well, listen to the program's commentary ends the news comes from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. VOI International Quiz 2022 is back. 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready. Who knows? You may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022. Start today in history with an event on August 5, 1962, when Hotel Indonesia was built. Hotel Indonesia was the first star hotel to be built in Jakarta, Indonesia. On August 5, 1962, the hotel was inaugurated by the first president of the Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno, to host the fourth Asian Games in 1962. The building of Hotel Indonesia was designed by American architect Abel Sorensen and his wife Wendy. Occupying an area of 25,000 square meters, this hotel was the slogan a dramatic symbol of free nations working together. Abel Sorensen succeeded in creating Hotel Indonesia as a modern and efficient hotel by carrying elements of local architecture, namely West Sumatra, which blends in the nuances of modern Indonesian architecture. Hotel Indonesia is also a five-star hotel that offers international standards. Let's move on to an accident on August 5, 2003 when bomb explosion occurred at the JW Marriott Hotel. On August 5, 2003, Indonesian people were shocked by the explosion of a bomb at the JW Marriott Hotel in Jakarta. The incident, also known as the 2003 Jakarta bombing, occurred at the JW Marriott Hotel in Mega Kuningan area, Jakarta, Indonesia. At 12:45 and 12:55 Western Indonesia time on Tuesday, August 5, 2003. The explosion was caused by a suicide car bombing using a car, Toyota Kijang with a police number B7462Z and driven by Asmar Latin Sani. The explosion killed 12 people and injured 150. As a result of the incident, the JW Marriott Hotel was closed for 5 weeks and reopened on September 8, 2003. We end today in history with a natural disaster on August 5, 2018, when Lombok was hit by an earthquake. An earthquake measuring 7.0 magnitude rocked Lombok Island on August 5, 2018. The epicenter of the earthquake, which occurred at 7:46 p.m. Central Indonesia time, was 18 kilometers northwest of East Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, with a depth of 15 kilometers. Data from the National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB stated that 259 people died, 1,033 were seriously injured, and 270,000 residents were displaced due to the Lombok earthquake.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bishaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
voorkomt de kettingoverbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Kasihku, oh, hatiku menggebu. Semua karena kamu, hati selalu rindu. Apakah kau mau jadi kekasihku? Ingin bersamamu, hati ini menggebu.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia is Indonesian Parliament Delegation Discuss Indonesia-Japan Export and Import Map in Tokyo. Delegation of the Indonesian House of Representatives led by their Deputy Speaker, Coordinator for Industry and Development, Rahmat Gobel, visited the Indonesian Embassy in Tokyo, Japan. Reported by Antara News Agency, they discussed the Indonesia and Japan Export-Import Map. On August 1st, Indonesian Ambassador to Japan and Micronesia, Harry Ahmadi, said that the Indonesian export to Japan in 2022 was quite good. The export performance in May 2022 was lower than April 2022, but still higher than export performances of May in the last 5 years. He also said that Japan ranked second as Indonesian agriculture product export destination, right after China. The Indonesian agriculture product export value, including the forestry, to Japan kept increasing since 2017. The export value in 2021 was $468.50 million. The top 5 export commodities to Japan included other plant products, Arabica, Robusta coffee, pearl, pepper, and fresh fish. While the top 5 agriculture products of export commodities are crumb rubber, frozen shrimp, CPO or crude palm oil derivatives, pack shrimp, and crude palm kernel oil. Ambassador Harry also pointed out that Japan's agriculture commodity import in 2021 was 7.4 trillion yen and was the highest record in the last 10 years. The chance for Indonesian agriculture product export to Japan was reflected from the comparison between Indonesian export and Japanese import in the agriculture product. He added that Japanese agriculture imports are predicted to keep increasing, considering Japan's very low self-sufficiency ratio, which is around 37 and depends on imported food. Meanwhile, Deputy Speaker of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Rahmat Gobel, said that he would discuss the opportunities and challenges in Indonesia-Japan export with the government in the parliament. Earlier, the House delegation had discussed carbon trade with the Indonesian embassy in Tokyo. Well, listener, that's my Indonesia.
Yeah.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment Indonesia Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
The gringsing weaving of Bali is used as a souvenir for the delegates who attended the G20 summit. As many as 120 clothes were ordered from the craftsmen of the Tengganan Penggringsingan Tourism Village, Karangasem Regency, Bali. The delegates attending the G20 summit will later obtain the clothes. When Desa Adat Tengganan Village, Putu Suarjana pointed out that the gringsing clothes made had passed through a tight selection regarding quality and had met the requirements requested by the Community Forum for the Protection of Geographical Indications MPIG of Gringsing Waving Bali, with 20 cm wide and 180 cm long. The Gringsing Waving has been designated as a National Intangible Cultural Heritage in 2016. The Ministry of Tourism, Economy and Creative continuously strives to promote the gringsing woven fabrics as an intangible cultural heritage by UNESCO. Because gringsing woven fabric is one of the ancient cultural heritage of Bali that still survives until now. The unique thing of this cloth lies in the technique of making it, namely using the double technique. Gringsing weaving is the only double ikat fabric from three double ikat woven fabrics recognized by UNESCO. Moreover, gringsing weaving to other double ikat woven fabrics come from India and Japan. It takes about 2 months to make a sheet of gringsing woven cloth. While for the double tie motif, it can take longer, around 2 to 5 years. The coloring still uses natural ingredients such as wood roots, candle nut oil and leaves. The three most common colors used for gringsing woven fabrics are tridatu, namely red, yellow and black. For indigenous people, the Tengganan Penggringsingan ulang. For indigenous people, the Tengganan Penggringsingan gringsing waving symbolizes a balance. The word gringsing comes from gring, which means plague or illness, and sing means snow. When interpreted in its entirety, gringsing waving is believed to be a cloth to repel reinforcement, so it is quite often used by the Balinese people for events such as wedding ceremonies and religious ceremonies. In addition, gringsing waving represents the traditional rules of the local community, which is very respectful for nature, so that it is not allowed to cut trees without having permission. They believe that by protecting nature, humans will not get sick. These fabrics consist of various motifs. One of the motifs of gringsing woven fabric is lubang motifs, which is characterized by a scorpion and is often used as a traditional clothing for religious events. There is also the Sanan Ampek motif, which is identical to the red and black calling box, as well as the Cecempakaan or Cempaka flower motifs, which is often used as a traditional clothing in religious ceremonies. Furthermore, another motif is Cemplong, which is characterized by a large flower among the small flowers around it, as well as other motifs. In traditional events, gringsing woven cloth is generally used as a scarf or sinteng by women, while for men, it is used as a belt.
We'll be right back. gambar peristiwa yang telah kita hadapi bersama. Beribu suka dan duka mewarnai cerita kita. Kilauan peluh dan air mata membakar api yang membara. Kita melangkah bersama mewujudkan mimpi menjadi nyata. Satu asa dan sejiwa tundukkan dunia. Menembus segala rintangan untuk menggapai gemilang di sana. Kilauan peluh dan air
just listen to the third pop song, and for next segment we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Three students of Sultan Agung Islamic University UNISULA achieved the best research paper achievement in an international conference held at Kasarsat University, Bangkok, Thailand. Dean of Faculty of Economy at UNISULA, Professor Dr. Olivia Fakhrunnisa explained that this participation is a form of international collaboration of some countries. The conference was entitled the Third National and International Conference 2022, Proactive Management of Cooperative and Social Enterprises Reacting to Challenges of New Social Dynamic. The activity, which took place at the end of July, involved 21 students and 5 lecturers of UNISULA. The 3 students from the Faculty of Economy at UNISULA who won the best research paper were Ernawati Satyanugraheni with the title Ethical Authentic Leadership, a New Concept of Leader Style to Reduce Fraud in the Education Sector, Alicia Suci Azizah with the title Digital Business Transformation and Soft Selling Marketing Strategy to increase MSME's product sales. A conceptual paper, and Erna May Wulandari with a paper entitled Diversification Strategy Towards Sustainable Entrepreneurial Orientation Performance Islamic. Meanwhile, for the field study program in Thailand, the students from the Faculty of Economy at Unisula study the management of companies managed by the campus, from upstream to downstream, livestock and livestock supply shops at Kasasart University. Then a village called Rong Tan Village has micro, small and medium enterprises with many kinds of products, such as breads, knickknacks, cakes and handicrafts. Next, Bangkok Soap Opera is a company that produces soap.
Saat apa
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you are going to listen to a song from West Java entitled Kalangkang. Kalangkang is about very deep love that two lovers are feeling. Well, listener, here is Kalangkang by Angga and Yani.
Kapan jalan nyuduan.
Voice of Indonesia.
Seluas angkasa berderet berbaris menyatu, coba untuk mencari tahu apakah gerangan yang bisa kulakukan, perjuangkan untuk bangsa dan negara Indonesia ku tercinta. Menjadi mata yang terus mengalir, selalu memberi karya terbaik bagi bangsa. Menjadi mata air, ciptakan kedamaian, menjawab tantangan arah tujuan masa. Seluas angkasa berderet berbaris menyatu, coba untuk mencari tahu apakah gerangan yang bisa,
apa yang bisa
lakukan, perjuangkan untuk bangsa dan negara Indonesia ku tercinta. Menjadi mata yang terus mengalir, selalu memberi.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.